When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we are live with an instant reaction podcast to round one of the NFL draft. This episode, as all of our episodes, is brought to you by Prize Picks, which is the official daily fantasy sports app of CLNS Media. If you download the app, put in the code CLNS, they'll match your first deposit up to $100. Matt, here we are. A marathon over, 4.5 hour round one live stream. People in the chat. It was great. We had a great time. Tons of people coming through. It was a fantastic night. And ultimately, the Patriots, they get their guy at number three, Drake May, quarterback of the future. How do you feel about it?
Thrilled. Love it. New England picked third, got the consensus QB2, a guy who was – a star from his first season as a starter at a young age, highly recruited athletes in his family, dual threat quarterback, highly productive in a bad system with bad players. Is it going to be a sure thing? No, you can never say that. Even you can't even guarantee it with the number one overall guys. Right. But this is about as good as I think I could feel about a quarterback for them to draft. His ceiling is way higher than anything they were going to get out of Mac Jones. And I don't really care that much about the floor because we already saw how bad it got with Mac Jones. And, you know, I don't really think there's much difference between versions of what that looks like. If you're bad, you're bad. So there's a guy who can win you Super Bowls if he maxes out his traits. And we're starting off the May and Mayo era. The
That's right, baby. Love to see it. It's gonna be me. So I also read today. I also saw on TV today. He is I read it on TV. Since Kyler Murray is the first guy to throw for 4,000 yards and run for 500 yards in the same year. That's something that Jaden Daniels didn't do this year when he won the Heisman Trophy. It's something that Caleb Williams didn't do last year when he won the Heisman Trophy. And so you're talking about a guy that I think has underrated ability to run with the ball, right? He's not the best runner. He's not 4.3 speed like Jaden Daniels has, but he can absolutely sling it and he can run the ball when necessary, right? 500 yards rushing, that's nothing to sneeze at, right? That's not like, he picks up yards every now and again. That's like, no. He's like actually gaining yards. And I believe, you know, he had almost 185 rushes. So, like, that's a lot of carries that he was running the ball. And, of course, his average was low because a decent amount of those are QB sneaks or whatever the case may be. But still, to get almost 700 yards rushing for a guy that, you know, throws as much as he does, I think is pretty dang impressive.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons the average is low too. I believe if they're still doing it this way, they count lost sack yardage in the rushing total for quarterbacks in college.
I think you're right. Yeah,
but still, I mean, Drake
makes it even more impressive.
Yeah, over 8,000 passing yards in college, over 1,200 rushing yards. He's 6'4", over 220 pounds. He's got long arms. He was ACC Player of the Year as a redshirt freshman. He was a freshman All-American. He led the ACC in passing last year redshirt sophomore there. Second team All-ACC, number three in FBS in total offense per game. I think Washington overthought this and let a fantastic prospect drop into New England's lap. So I'm incredibly happy about this and excited for what it does for the ceiling of New England's offense. And I don't just mean ceiling like high potential, but literally ceiling on the field of being able to attack defenses deep. Drake May has a fantastic arm and He's not afraid to give his receiver shots down the field, and he can hit them. He can hit them even when he's under pressure, which is something we did not see with Mac Jones.
Right.
Look at fit New England. You know who I think is going to love this guy? Kendrick Bourne.
Mm-hmm.
A player who's good at improvising and has a feel and is a playmaker. I think he and Drake May are going to get along very well with some of these, you know, deep shots where you're just going to throw it up to him or late in the down making plays happen. Excited to see the connection between those two. And yeah, Drake May is going to be in Foxborough within the next, I don't know, 18 hours here for a ceremony. And excited to see what this looks like when he starts getting to work with the coaches.
Right. Yeah, and you know, look, here's what I'm going to say, right? And you mentioned the ACC and how, you know, I've heard from a lot of people that they don't trust quarterbacks in the ACC. And look, I get what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from. Do you trust quarterbacks from the Mountain West? Because I don't know why you would trust quarterbacks from the Mountain West, except Josh Allen and Jordan Love, who are both, I would say, pretty much undeniably top 10 quarterbacks. Josh Allen's top 5 quarterback. I would say Jordan Love is pretty clearly a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Both came from the Mountain West. And so I can't tell you the last time a good quarterback came from the Mountain West. Boise State and, like, you know, Colorado State. Like, when's the last time a good quarterback came from the Mountain West before Josh Allen? And it just is what it is, man. Like, I know that the last two quarterbacks that came from UNC that were drafted highly didn't work out, right? But that, again, that doesn't mean anything, well, right? And so that's where I'm at it, is that, like, it's not about where he played in college. It's not about what he did in college. It's about what he can do and what you can coach him up to do, right? And I think that he has arguably the highest ceiling of any of the guys that got drafted. Caleb Williams, I might say, is a little higher, but nevertheless, I think he's really high ceiling, and the Patriots, if they can get that out of him, absolutely had an absolute grand slam here.
Yeah, it's hard not to be excited. There's definitely potential pitfalls here with May. It's not all, you know, sunshine and rainbows over here, but it's never going to be. There's always an element of luck, an element of chance with drafting guys. I'm not going to sit here and say that Drake May will be the franchise quarterback.
Right.
I can't. But I can say that he has all the tools to be, with the right coaching, the right environment around him. There's no reason that he won't be that guy. I really like that Alex Van Pelt is the coach for him too, because when it comes to mechanics, the biggest issue for Drake May is inconsistent with his base. His footwork can be, I don't know, just sloppy at times. And it's not that he can't be accurate, and it's not that he can't have good footwork, just needs a little bit more work to get to where it needs to be consistently. And Alex Van Pelt specializes in that stuff. You know, that's what these guys do. So putting him in an offense that I think will help develop that area of his game is huge. Putting him in an offense that ideally should have a good running game with a good running back, I think, is huge. We've talked a lot about, you know, New England's offense and how bad the personnel are and everything. Relative to their peers, when you consider both the skill of the players around him and the coaching, I think Drake May is in a better situation in New England than he was at UNC when you look at how some of the games that they had were handled and some talent he had around him. Obviously assuming some health for some players. But
of course, right.
He's going to go out there with guys who actually have a real plan for him to develop him. And with some real players, and we'll see who they end here on days 2 and 3 in the draft. But I have faith that they have a development plan for him. Now the success, you know, only a small ask, but my mental health for the next 15 years depends on how they develop him.
Yeah. Let's hope they don't screw it up. By the way, this is the perfect thing from Dad Skywalker here. Not thrilled with the pick, but hoping for the best, obviously. Not going to hope he sucks. Just say I told you so. Right? That's wrong on so many levels. That's the attitude. If you didn't love Drake May as a prospect, that's okay. It's okay to not have loved Drake May as a prospect, right? But right now, as a Patriots fan, your job is to root for and cheer for and hope for Drake May because you want him to be good, right? And yeah, sure, then that means you were wrong about your draft take. But that's okay because your team is good, right? No one, even if you were rooting against them taking him and you didn't feel like he was the guy, now he's on the team, right? So, like, you need to root for him. You need to cheer for him. You need to, you know, be optimistic about him on the team. And again, it may not pan out, right? Again, he's got a high ceiling. That doesn't mean he's going to reach his potential. Doesn't mean he's going to get there, right? But the hope is that he does. And every Patriots fan should be hoping that he does, whether you like him or not. Every Patriots fan should be hoping that he does.
The other thing I thought was interesting about this too, you know, we heard a lot the run up about, will the Patriots take McCarthy? Are they going to trade back? Are they going to, you know, all these options talking about looking for a bag and waiting on the clock and all that kinds of stuff. We get to the draft, and apparently Patriots called Drake May the second the pick was up and said, yep, you're a guy. And said after the fact that ever since they found out a couple weeks ago that Washington was taking Jaden Daniels, they've known that they've been taking Drake May. Which it's funny how these things work. And I don't think the Leafs were wrong, so to speak, but probably the bag that was being talked about was something much bigger than what people anticipated. You know, if you're certain on the quarterback, the bag that it's going to take, hypothetically, if it's Minnesota, hey, you're going to need 11, you're going to need 23, you're going to need the first next year, you're going to need the first the year after that, you're going to need Christian Darrisaw, you're going to need Justin Jefferson. Like, that's what we're talking about, if you like the quarterback. And, yeah, you might as well talk, because maybe they actually offer you something crazy like that. But realistically, that was never going to happen. Everybody involved knows, yeah, it's never going to come close to meeting what New England actually would have wanted there.
Right.
So by the time you're on the clock, you know what you're doing. And I'd be like, it's clear that they like this guy. Clear that they wanted him. Clear that the coaching staff likes him. Clear that they have guys in the building who can develop him, who are equipped to develop him. And now you start this 4 or 5 year clock of developing, getting the right pieces around him, coaching staff, front office are all aligned. Talk about the clock starting. The clock starts now. Brandon Ayuk, he's available. Pick 34. We'll send it.
Right.
And that's, see what happens. I mean, by the time people listen to this in the morning, maybe a deal has happened, hopefully.
You never know.
But, yeah.
You never know. And I go back and forth on it. I do think Ayuk is incredibly talented. You got to pay him a ton of money. But again, if you have to pay him a ton of money, you got to pay him a ton of money. It's fine. He's a really good player. Like, you want to have that type of problem. And so, you know, I'm really interested to see where they go in rounds 2 and 3. I think it's pretty obvious that they need a wide receiver and a tackle. And so do they have any interest in Patrick Paul? A guy that they're really interested in, that they've had a few meetings with, is the kid from Notre Dame. Why am I blanking on his name? Blake Fisher, right? He's a guy that did a top 30 visit with the Patriots, has done a few different things. So those are the things where I look at it and say, like, okay, Patrick Paul was the guy that people had talked about maybe slipping into the first round. He didn't. And so maybe he's a project. So maybe there's a little bit more projection than people thought. And so maybe people aren't as in on it as some had suggested. So for me, it's, if you want to take a wide receiver right now, take a wide receiver, whether it's Ladd McConkey, whether it's trading for Ayuk, whether it's whatever it might be. Take a wide receiver at 34 if that's what you want, and then get your tackle at 68 if that's what you need, right? Again, they need corner too. Cooper DeJean sitting right there. I think he'd be a really strong pick at 34. He's a guy that I had mocked there at 34. But again, the problem is you need wide receiver and tackle so badly that taking a corner now at 34 just limits your options so much, right? I'd rather like take a shot on Jalen Simpson later on in the draft, a guy that played corner that's going to transition to safety in the NFL. I'd rather take a shot on him than Cooper DeJean, right? I like Cooper DeJean quite a bit. But again, you're basically eliminating either wide receiver or tackle if you do that. And that's hard pill to swallow.
And there are good players left on the board. A.D. Mitchell, who many thought was going to be a first-rounder, still on the board. Ladd McConkey, who who was consensus number 32, last guy to sneak into the first round there, still on the board. Keon Coleman, if you want a big physical receiver, I like Coleman a lot, and I think he fits what they could want. If you want somebody who is big but not physical and instead fast, Troy Franklin is still on the board. Mm-hmm. I think any of those guys are options at pick 34 that I would be happy with. And you add on the fact that, like, you know, the Bills can only take one of those guys. And I kind of think the Bills are going to end up taking Cooper DeJean anyway. So I think New England can have their pick of any of those wide receivers. Mm-hmm. You mentioned tackle, Kingsley Suamataia, still there. Patrick Paul is there. I think he might, there's a chance he's on the board at 68 if he hasn't been taken. His range is super wide. You still have Karana Magaji. You still have Blake Fisher. I don't know if he would switch sides for you, but Roger Rosengarten is still around from Washington. You got a lot of options that are still on the board here at these two positions. So there are opportunities now to build around Drake May in this draft.
Yeah.
And you got to take advantage of it.
100%. Yep, 100%. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's a long day. Tomorrow they have two picks tomorrow, one early in the second round, one early in the third round. And so we'll see what they end up doing. And then, of course, they have picks on Saturday as well. I do think that they're going to address those needs. I would be shocked if they didn't take a corner at some point. I'd be shocked if they didn't take a wide receiver and a tackle at some point as well. And so when they address those needs, I don't know. And that's really what makes a difference, right? At 34, I think there's still some impact players you can get at 34 that can come on and start day one for you. And then there are some guys that are a little bit more projects, and that's okay too. And so, you know, I'm curious to see where they go with that. So we're going to take a quick break. We come back from the break. Let's kind of go through just quickly, go through just our takeaways from round one. Outside of the Patriots, and go from there. Okay.
Next,
and we'll be right back, and we'll see you in a bit. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball, baseball, and hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Aaron Judge, Connor McDavid, and Jude Bellingham all in the same entry. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, Prize Picks will have your back and not count that as a loss. Now this week, I'm actually going with Aaron Judge, Rafael Devers, and Bobby Witt Jr. to have over 1.5 total bases, and I'm going with Kevin Durant for more than 28 points and Nikola Jokic with more than 10 rebounds. Download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, if you download the app today and put in the code CLNS, they will match your first deposit up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. All right, so before we get into our takeaways, old man Mom with a question here. If you had to pick a wide receiver in the draft to pair with Drake May, who would it be? Again, this is in the draft, not Brandon Ayuk. Taking a wide receiver, assuming at 34, but taking a wide receiver and pairing him with Drake May, who would it be?
I mean, here's the thing. The guys that scared me at the receiver position were the two Xaviers, Worthy and Leggett. Those were guys who I think had the biggest red flags. So I'm honestly okay with anybody. I think it's just a matter of what exactly they think his skill set is and what they need and where they're picking one. Like, if we're talking about pick 34, any of those guys I mentioned before, I'm totally on board with, whether it's A.D. Mitchell, if they're okay with what are some supposed red flags with his effort level, Ladd McConkey, if they think he can play outside, Keon Coleman, if they like his size and they like his development capability, Troy Franklin, if they're not bothered by how thin he is, okay with any of those guys. If they want to go later, I still like Jalen Polk a lot. I think he'd be a good fit for them. The Javon Baker out of UCF, another guy, I think is interesting. And I think you got Fortez Walker into this conversation just because he played with Drake May. I don't like him in round two. That's way too high for him. Round three, even, I think I start. I'm that's pushing it a bit for me. But round four, he's an athlete. He can play outside the numbers. He's incredibly raw. He's not polished as a route runner. He has questionable hands. But he's a good athlete. He has some familiarity with Drake May. And honestly, he might be drafting multiple receivers here. So if you come away with him in the fourth and somebody else here in the second, I think there's multiple ways to do that. I'm sorry if that isn't you're looking for one guy. I can't give you one because right. It's there's a lot of ways. I think Keon Coleman's my favorite out of them, but you know, that's small edge of the guys I would take.
Yeah. 34. I like it. And I kind of feel the same way. Give me someone. And you know, we kind of go from there. So all right, a few takeaways. One takeaway for me, Minnesota, I thought crushed it. I know they gave up a decent amount to move up. They moved up from 11 to 10 to take J.J. McCarthy. They gave up they got a six-round pick. They got 203 back. They gave up 129 and 157. So, you know, yeah, they gave up two picks to move up. But, you know, that's – if it's your guy and you want him, you take him. And I think it was the right move. I thought it was a great move by the Jets as well to move back to 11 and take Fashanu. So that was a good job by them. And then the Vikings move up again and take Dallas Turner, who, you know, was pretty much a consensus top 10 pick in mock drafts. I don't know if he was consensus top 10 on the board, but, you know, pretty much everywhere you saw, a lot of people had him going off as the first defensive player getting drafted. And he goes number 17. And to get number 17 from 23, they give up a fifth-round pick this year and a third and fourth next year. Now, it leaves them with like three picks next year total. But they hold on to their first-round pick next year, which is important. And they were able to get two guys that they were super high on that they liked a lot. And they didn't have to give – they gave up a decent amount of picks, but all the picks they gave up were D3 picks. And so – I think it made a lot of sense for them to do it, and I thought they did a nice job.
I like Minnesota's draft a lot. I mean, obviously, I think you can come away with Drake May for them. That's what they were looking for.
Of course.
Once New England decides that's the guy, that's off the table. Small trade up to get J.J. McCarthy, a guy who I think that's a perfect system fit. He might not start year one. You might get Sam Darnold for a year here and let J.J. mature. I don't think that would be a bad option at all for them. Small trade up to get a guy you really like, a quarterback who's a fit. And then Dallas Turner was consensus number 10 and is a top defensive guy. Like, people really like him. He's a scheme fit. He's a big time scheme fit for Minnesota. You don't usually get good pass rushers after day one. So I don't mind that trade up either to give a little extra to get a guy who you know is a fit for what you do defensively. I don't always love trading up just to jump and get a player that you like more, but in this case I think the top three edge rushers were kind of a scheme fit situation for each of them, and making sure you've landed somebody in that tier who fit what you do, I love. If we want to go the opposite end of this, we can talk about the Broncos and the Falcons. The Falcons taking Michael Penix at number 8 overall. When they gave $100 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, yeah.
I don't get it. And again, my thing is this, right? My argument is that if you want to sit there and tell me that you don't believe in Kirk Cousins and you're drafting Michael Penix Jr. because you're looking at it saying, we don't trust Kirk Cousins for the long term, I'm okay with that. That's okay, and I'm fine with that. Well, then why the hell did you give him a four-year, $180 million contract with $100 million guaranteed literally this offseason, 2 months ago? You gave him that contract. What are we doing? What are you doing? It makes no sense. And again, I like Michael Penix Jr. I think he's a really good quarterback. I don't know if he can stay healthy. I don't know if he's going to be the guy in the NFL. I don't know, right? I didn't necessarily want the Patriots to draft him. at all. I get it. But don't sit there and tell me that you had to draft him at number eight after signing Kirk Cousins to that massive contract. It just, it makes no sense.
Well, and it's, you're locked into Kirk Cousins for 2 years, minimum right. 2 years. So let's say it's the minimum. Michael Penix is going to be 26 years old the first time he starts with 1 year as a starter before you have to decide if you're going to pick up his fifth year option.
Right.
That's such a risky, risky place to be in. And to do it when you have real talent on the board. And you could have added Romo Dunze. You could go out there with Drake London, Romo Dunze, and Kyle Pitts and just have a group of ball winners who are all also very technically sound as well.
Right.
And really have a dominant group. You could take Dallas Turner, who is a scheme fit for the Falcons, and many thought was the best defensive player in the draft. Byron Murphy is the same thing. They haven't been able to generate pass rush in like two decades in Atlanta outside of that one Vic Beasley season.
Yeah.
You got edge rushers there, and you're not going to take it when you're picking top 10. I get that quarterback is important, but I don't get it. And apparently, according to James Palmer, the Seahawks, Saints, and Raiders all also tried to get into the top 10 for Michael Penix. And I just, man, I don't see it with him. I like Michael Penix as a day two option, but a top 10 quarterback seems rich for me. And you know what's interesting about that? That list of teams, Seahawks, they really seem to want to move on from Geno Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Raiders, that I think we knew. Saints, the Saints are tied to Derek Carr for like two or three more seasons here too. That's multiple NFC South teams interested in this, an old quarterback who might have to sit for a couple of years. Or weird stuff, man.
Yeah.
Front offices do weird things.
They sure do. They sure do. And again, it's just, you know, that's where I'm at with it, man, is like, what are we doing? You know, and I'm not a Falcons fan, so it doesn't really matter to me, but like, it makes no sense. And the Bo Nix at 12, I don't know. I mean, I guess he would have been gone and you wanted to take him or whatever. But what you read on the show is the most outlandish thing that anyone has ever said. Adam Schefter tweeted out that, and I don't have it in front of me, so I can't read it word for word. But and I don't even want to read it word for word. It was so disgusting. But basically, it was that he was ready to draft Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs traded up with the Bills and drafted Patrick Mahomes right in front of him. They were drafting 11. The Bills were drafting 10. They took Marshawn Lattimore instead, which is a good pick too, but obviously not Patrick Mahomes. But then it said, he feels that way about Bo Nix.
No one feels. Bo Nix's mother doesn't feel that way about right. him.
That's correct. Yes.
And I'm sure she's a fun woman. But like, and I like Bo Nix. Like, oh my goodness. It is.
Lunacy.
I will say the one reason I'll defend the Broncos taking Bo Nix at 12 is that they don't pick until pick 76. So. Right. Well, this is your shot to get any quarterback you'd like at all, but
right. Man. And if you move back, you're not getting him at all.
No, but it's like, man, what if we? This team's not good. Like I think that we get a little bit too fussy sometimes about like, hey, you have to make sure the situation is good enough before you draft the quarterback. Sometimes if there's a guy available, you take him. You know, that's how I felt with New England and Drake May. I don't think every quarterback would be a fit for New England with our supporting cast. But Drake May is good enough as a prospect that you figure it out. Bo Nix is not that level of prospect. The Broncos are not that good of a team right now. And I don't know what the plan is. Like it's just a franchise. Like they seem doomed to be between like 7-10 and 9-8 for all of Sean Payton's tenure until he inevitably like hangs it up again, because I just think it's stuck in the middle, and that might be generous with the teams in that division. If the Chargers turn into what the Chargers could turn into with Justin Herbert and Jim Harbaugh, you're looking at being stuck at maximum the third best team in your own division with likely three or four losses on the schedule for you before you kicked off the season every single year. Like, I don't know what the plan is in Denver.
Yeah, it makes no sense. So That's kind of where I'm at. And look, there were some, I mean, obviously you have the first 14 picks are offense, which is wild, right? That's wild. And so the first 14 being offense is crazy. And then you have a ton of defensive players go in that second half of the first round. We had what, 7 tackles go in the first round. And so, you know, they just, it was a matter of, yes, a lot of quarterbacks and a lot of wide receivers at the top. And then once defensive players started going, they went, and they went fast and hard. And it was like, okay, now there's a ton of defenders off the board, but still only what, 2 corners off the board, you know, 4 or 5 edge rushers. Like, it's still not, you know, so really kind of surprising. And, you know, there's still a ton of talent left on the defense side of the ball if the Patriots want to go there. The issue is, and this is, I know we got to wrap up here because we've been podcasting for over 5 hours tonight. But the issue I have is the mock that we did with Austin Gale. We took Drake May 3, and at 34 we drafted Kool-Aid McKinstry. But even if you draft Cooper DeJean, whatever, right? Pick the defensive player. Draft a guy at 34, and now you're like, well, if we need a wide receiver and a tackle, we can't get both of them. And when we get to 68, is there going to be a guy that we think can play this year at either position right away? I don't know if there is. Now, does that mean you reach at 34 for a guy that doesn't necessarily belong there? No, not necessarily. But, like, it also means even if Cooper DeJean is sitting there at 34, I'm thinking long and hard about actually making that pick because he can absolutely help you on the defense side of the ball. But, like, does that fill the biggest need that you have? You know?
Well, here's the other thing. If you're New England, I talked about how much I like the receivers on the board. If they like the 4 guys that I talked about equally, and I'm not super fussy about which one they get, you're 34, and somebody else wants Cooper DeJean or, you know, anybody else. You know, Kool-Aid McKinstry is still on the board. We haven't talked about him as a guy that that people really liked. Johnny Newton is a guy who people could like. Jackson Bowers Johnson, I think there's some injury concern there, but he's a guy people might like.
Right.
If a team wants to move up a couple spots and take one of those guys, New England, you can go move back a little bit and still get one of the receivers that you like and pick up an extra pick somewhere. And maybe then cash in that pick with your third to move back up into the end of the second to make sure you get a tackle you like or another receiver that you like. There's a lot of ways to attack this, but you've landed the big puzzle piece, and it's just about not screwing up. You don't need to nail every pick in this draft. You need to nail enough of them on offense that you can lay the foundation with Drake May.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, and so I like the idea of doing all those things. So we'll see, see. And I think they have a lot of options, and that's kind of where we're at right now, is that the Patriots have a ton of options in front of them. They have a valuable pick. So you're sitting there saying, we have the second pick of the first round. Now, second pick of the second round. Now, remember that last year was the pick that ended up being Will Levis. Now, it was 33 because the Dolphins had to give up their first round pick last year, but that was the second pick of the first round of the second round. And so the Patriots have that pick. They have a ton of leverage. If they want to move back, they can, and they should be able to get a decent amount to do that. If they're high on a bunch of guys, they might do that and say, all right, let's try to pick up another top 100 pick. You know, let's try to pick up another pick tomorrow and move back into the mid 40s, let's say, and, you know, and still get a guy that we like there. So, you know, a lot of options on the board, and that's exactly what we want to be. You want to be in a situation where you're not panicking and making a pick. The last thing you want the Patriots to do is to sit at 34 and say, okay, we need a wide receiver. Well, we don't love Ladd McConkey, but sure, he's the best wide receiver on our board, so let's take him. And it's like, no, don't do that. So that's the whole point. Don't do that, right? And so hopefully they make the smart decision. If they love a guy, take him. If not, move down and try to pick up another top 100 pick.
Yep. I want to add, this is completely non-Patriots related, but I forgot to say any of this on the live show, so I'm just going to throw it in here real quick. Ricky Pearsall to the 49ers. Man, I have very conflicted feelings about this pick. First of all, reach. This dude barely made the top 50 of the consensus board, and the 49ers took him at 31. Second of all, I still kind of love the pick. This might sound weird, but I think the guy the 49ers probably wanted was Jordan Morgan. And he's off the board, and I don't know. I'm not sure there's a great offensive line fit for them at 31. Pearsall is a guy who's a huge scheme fit for them. He's a good route runner. He can play outside or in the slot, and he's tenacious. He'll block. And, like, you go back to the Super Bowl, one of the issues they had was Deebo Samuel not being able to separate. It's like Pearsall can separate. I think he's – I don't love him as a route runner as much as others do, but some people really like him. And, like, Ladd McConkey's not going to give you all that gas as a blocker. Pearsall will. Like, Ricky Pearsall is, like, Julian Edelman energy out there. Yeah. And in that San Francisco scheme, it makes a ton of sense. I think it's rich for him. I wouldn't have done it this high. I would have tried to trade back and take him. But I do see the vision for San Francisco. So in a way, I kind of like it for them.
Yeah, I like it. That's a good call as well. Yeah, no, that's a good call.
Hopefully it frees up Brandon Ayuk to come to New England. That
would be nice, wouldn't it?
That would be nice.
You could always do that with pick 34.
How about this? Tyquan Thornton and 34 for Brandon Ayuk.
I mean, who says no to that? You know what I mean? Who says no to that? Okay, what was your – I'll put you on the spot here, and I can go first if you want me to. What was your favorite pick of round one? Obviously outside of Drake May. Obviously, my favorite pick was Drake May, clearly. But yeah, like,
and we're going, like, I'm not going to say, like, you know, Caleb Williams.
Right.
Let me see. I mean, the first one that comes to mind to me is Odunze to the Bears.
Yeah, it's a great one.
That is a fantastic fit, and that you're getting him at night. That's a guy who might be wide receiver one in any of the last five drafts except for this one, and you're giving him at 9 to bear the rookie quarterback.
It's pretty wild. Yeah.
I like that one. If he's healthy, I like Brian Thomas to Jacksonville a lot. The issue they had there, especially with Calvin Ridley last year, is they didn't have enough speed in the receiving core. And Christian Kirk can be your slot now, and then Brian Thomas and Gabe Davis can just be on the outside running goes and stretching the defense. And with Trevor Lawrence, I think he needed that. So if he's healthy and lives up to the hype, I think that could be really good. Right, yeah.
I like that. My favorite pick of the first round, again, outside of Drake May, is Terrion Arnold. Detroit needed help in the secondary. They moved up from 29 to do it, and they just got aggressive again. They got aggressive again. Last year, they moved up from 12. They moved back from 12 to from 6 to 12 last year. Picked up some extra draft capital. They were able to move up this year and go get a guy that, you know, was really the consensus cornerback one, right, at pick 24, which is really good. He's not in the class that Christian Gonzalez is, in my opinion, but I like him a lot. And to get him there at 24, I think was really good. And he's a great fit for what they want to do. And so pairing him with Brian Branch, you give them two guys in the secondary that are young, athletic guys, both from the same school too. So, you know, they have some experience playing with each other. So
yeah.
I like that one a lot too. So
especially at that point in the draft.
Yep. So, all right, let's get the heck out of here. Old Man Mob throws an idea, 34 and a third round pick with Juju for Brandon Ayuk and a 2024 sixth round pick.
I think that San Francisco might say no to that because they have to take on Juju.
Yeah, they probably would.
I don't think. Juju, but. Yeah, I think Juju brings the trade value down.
I know, right?
Next year's third. Instead of next year third, I'd rather just do a fourth this year. I'd rather get it out of the way in this draft. And I think it would equate to a roughly the same value as what
it would
there
probably.
Is,
yeah.
What I would say is 34 and 137 for Ayuk straight up. You don't get a pick back or anything, but that I would do 34 and 103 for Ayuk if you gotta. I'm just not going to include 68 because I want to tackle.
Oh, absolutely not. You can't include 68 now.
And you want to talk to the agent beforehand and make sure that getting a deal done is a possibility.
Yep.
You can sign him long term. But damn. So
but that should be, if that's what the Patriots want to do, that's what they should do today. Or I guess today because it's 1 o'clock in the morning, but that's what they should do today. Spend today talking to Ayuk, talking to his people. Can we get this deal done? Okay. Now you call San Fran and say, hey, look, let's go. Let's get it done.
Yep.
And go for it.
And they have something that they have a pick ahead of Washington in the second round, which should help. Now, the one thing that, you know, could hurt them, Washington has two picks here. They have 36 and 40. So Washington's willing to offer both of those. You're probably out of luck.
Well, if that's the case, then what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah. And like Washington also has pick. They have pick 78 and they've picked 100 in the third round. Washington has three third rounders. So like if they're willing to go 36 and 78 to match that, you're going to have to go 34 and 68. And I start to get a little skittish at that point because exactly. now you have no chance at realistically addressing offensive tackle this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't like that idea. So
yeah,
I would almost rather do 34 in a second next year over doing something like that. And I know that's a lot, but I'd almost rather do that if that's the case. So, but anyways, all right. Well, thanks again for coming out. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for sticking through for the entire 4.5 hours and then coming back here. You draft sickos.
Another serving. Us.
Absolute lunatics out here, just like we are. At almost 1:30 in the morning, talking about the NFL draft. And so we appreciate you guys. We're going to be with you all weekend, giving you instant reactions to every pick the Patriots make, hopefully getting on right after they make their picks, and going from there. So thanks again. Thank you for tonight. It was a great night. Patriots got their guy. The Patriots got their guy. And so we got to be happy about that. And hopefully they crush it again, tomorrow night. And we're talking about this tomorrow night saying, man, the first 2 days of the draft, Patriots absolutely killed it. So, anyways, thank you so much, guys, and we will talk to you tomorrow night.